This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, good evening. Nice to be here. Always a pleasure. My name is Vinny White, and I'll be with you for the next hour talking stuff and things and stuff. It's sort of a news pan-fried fish with hunks of meaty news and lashings of complimentary comedy sauce and a side order of chuckle pie. All put together, we call it the Vinny White Show. You can get in touch with the show on 416 872 1010, or you can text the show on 71010, or you can email the show by going to Newstalk 1010 and painfully clicking through all of the important presenters until you get to my face. And from there, you can email. I'd say text is the quickest and arguably most efficient, but I'm sure by this point you're really not that bothered. Good evening. Interesting day today. I went to IKEA. Even as soon as I got in the car, I thought, it's probably a bad idea, isn't it? Sunday, IKEA. But I did it anyway. Things went wrong before I even started. I got a car to go, the world's most inefficient car for an IKEA trip, because a car to go is one of those little noddy cars, you know, one of those little white... It's a smart car. We all know what they are. They are those car to goes, which are really good, by the way. I can't say enough good about them. Apart from the one that I got today, which broke down. That's never happened before. It's one of those systems where you go up with a little card in your wallet, or you can phone one of the cars, unlock it, get in, and off you go. And then you can dump it wherever you want. It's like the bike system, but slightly larger than a bicycle. I broke down on the Danforth, and I was like, that's quite annoying, but then I don't really want to have to get worried about it because it's not my car. And I broke down beautifully in front of a fire hydrant. And in North America, you're not allowed to park in front of fire hydrants because, as we know, on a daily basis, you see fire trucks parked next to fire hydrants using them. No, I've never seen one either. And we could all get a lot more spaces if they let us park in front of fire hydrants. I'm starting to think it might be a money-making campaign. I've got a good idea for that, by the way. You should be able to park in front of a hydrant, and if they need to break your windows to put out a fire with their hose, they can. Onus is on you. Want to take the gamble? Yes. Almost definitely going to get away with it. Right, I park in front of a hydrant. Do I have to come up with everything? Anyway, so I parked in front of a hydrant. Well, I say parked, I broke down in front of a hydrant. It wasn't a choice. And then the police, I was phoning car to go HQ, and the police came up behind me, and he got out and said, sir, we've circled... Do you want me to do the accent? No. Okay. So we've circled round, and we've seen you here. You've been here for nearly 10 minutes. Can you please get off your phone? And I said, well, I mean, I can, but I've been on... He goes, I've heard it all. I'm not interested. Move along. I went, no, I can, but unfortunately, I'm on the... I don't care who you're on the phone to, sir. It really doesn't bother me. I've heard it. I went, have you heard this one? This has bloody broken down. Have you heard that? He goes, yes, actually has it then. I went, yeah. So what happens, right? He goes, you can't leave it here, so I'll have to phone a tow truck. Where do you want me to tow it? And I said, I don't know. It's not my car. Tow it where you like. He goes, well, I need a destination. I said, well, if you let me finish this phone call that I'm on, she was now on hold, then I'll tell you what will happen. So I get off hold with her. Copper's walking around the car, like, I don't know. Look, I don't know if he's looking for tyre pressure problems. It's not my problem. Anyway, girl on the end of the phone had said, oh, please don't let them tow it because we'll send someone out to deal with it. So I said, all right, don't worry, I'll talk to him. So I hung up on the car to go woman and I said to the policeman, right, can you just help me push it? Bear in mind, we are talking about a smart car, right? So you know, it's not that we're not talking about the QE2 here. And just like a couple of cars in front. He said, I'm not pushing a car. I don't get paid to push cars. I said, well, I mean, I appreciate that, but, you know, I can't leave it here. He goes, well, exactly. And that's why I'm going to call a tow truck. So, as I said, where do you want me to tow it? I said, we're going around in circles here. Let's just push it up the road a bit, and then I'll just dump it. It's not my problem. Car to go in and come out, find it, and everything will be tickety-boo. He said, well, as I said, sir, I can't push cars. I said, well, I'll do it on my own then. So I opened the door and started pushing this car to go, and he was in his car, and he must have had this pang of guilt and thought, oh, this is rubbish. This guy is actually causing quite a scene. Because, but at this point, I blocked the entire street on purpose. And I was particularly pushing it out into a hazardous area. I wish there's the edge of a cliff there, I'll tell you that. And, yeah, he goes, all right, OK, stay there. And then he put his lights on, blocked the traffic and helped me push it. And they're like in this really... Because he had a female companion. You have to sort of get people with a bravado and macho, hit him in the weak spot. So, because if I start pushing it, he'll feel pathetic. Then he'll feel like helping me, because otherwise his female companion will say, John, what the hell are you doing? This guy's pushing a car on his own. Because obviously she works in New York. And so, long story short, he got out of his car and helped me push it. And then he goes, why don't you get in and I'll just push you? So this has turned around. So then I'm being pushed along the Danforth in a smart car by a policeman. And I stick it on the side of the road. And he goes, oh, that was lucky, wasn't it? And then we were like mates. It's like, so you've been doing this long? He goes, you see it all in my game. Where are you from? England? Oh, yeah. He goes, my uncle lives there. What's happened? We hated each other before. I don't know what the message in that is, but thanks to whoever that was. I didn't get his badge number. I would have done if he'd have carried on with his previous attitude, but by golly, did he come round. So then, anyway, where am I going? IKEA. God, that was a painful intermission, wasn't it? Don't worry, it gets more entertaining very slowly. IKEA. I get there, and I'm thinking, IKEA, why am I doing this? Because I only want some plates. That's all I wanted. I could have bought them online. Have you been to IKEA, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, a couple of times. I'm, don't have a lot of money, so that's pretty much the place to go.
For hot dogs and daily evening meals? Or
yes, or, coffee table.
Oh. IKEA, why is it so hellish? And then I thought, I know, because there's no natural light. There's thousands of people crammed into an aircraft hangar that's been modified into the world's most annoying maze. We are herded through it like brainless bovine idiots. But instead of searching for fresh grass, we tend to search for a ruggle flip or a sprangler or a foodle poodle. I don't know what they're called. And I noticed that the problems really start in the parking lot, where a collection of 1,000 minivan drivers drive at the speed of melting butter. Once you've navigated around them and parked, the fear sets in, doesn't it, as you go through the doors? Just fear, like, oh, God, what am I doing? Be calm. And, you push past a man carrying a picture of the Eiffel Tower that you recognise from Bob's house and Margaret's house and Natalie's house. But if you see all those people carrying various canvas prints and pot plants and manage to get through to the main doors, your existence becomes one of the drones, really, the sort of mindless consumer zombie drone. Drombi, yeah. Lost all sense of purpose. You and your fellow cattle are now mesmerised by a collection of lamps in the shapes of toilets and desks in the shapes of canoes and chairs in the shape of, I don't know, omelettes. Couches start about $100. So you think, this must be a bargain, don't you? How could this be anything but a bargain? $100 for a couch. What a bargain. And then you realise you have to buy the covers and the legs and the cushions and the friends to put them on, because you've been in IKEA so long you now don't have any friends and they can't remember your face. Like, all I wanted today was a toilet brush and a set of plates. And I found myself in the duvet cover section of bedrooms. And you can't clean a toilet with a duvet cover. You can, but it's not cost efficient, is what I'm saying. So I find that you really end up just in a mad space, a completely moody, weird place. So I looked up why it's so harrowing, and apparently it's not just me or you, it's everyone. A clinical psychologist in Santa Monica says IKEA literally becomes a map of a relationship nightmare. It's the worst thing you can do with a partner, she says. Walking through the kitchens just brings up touchy subjects like who does most of the cooking. Then you get to the children's section, which opens up other sets of issues like should we have children? Should we have more? Do you look after them? All these things go through your mind when you're stuck in the maze. And, of course, the maze is hellish at the best of times. She says you walk into an IKEA and all the rooms are set up to ask you how you envisage your best life. If you're having any issues in your relationship, those are then in your mind. You walk in through the bedroom section. If you're having trouble in the bedroom, that's what you're thinking about. So it's the worst place you can go for a couple. And in my experience, I went on my own today. It's one of the worst things you can do on your own. Because at one point, I just felt so lonely. I don't know what plates I want. I don't know. Do I want the black ones, the round ones, the ones that are shaped like pineapples? I don't know. I really wanted to reach out. I couldn't get a phone signal, which I'm sure they do on purpose. Anyway, I came out the other side and I got a toilet brush and a set of plates. And I hate both of them. So that's great. But that psychologist, the clinical psychologist in Santa Monica, says the worst thing you can do is get the $1,500 Liatorp TV storage unit, which has now been dubbed the Divorce Maker. Yeah. Love, have we got any plans this weekend? No, dear, no. Should we assemble the Divorce Maker? No! No! The clue's in the name! No! Anyway, going to IKEA can seem a little bit like this.
It's beautiful, don't you think?
What?
The dark scrub sofas.
This'll be perfect for our apartment.
Alex?
Daniel? Where are you? I wandered off. I'm lost.
I don't know where I am. I'm spinning.
Stop spinning.
You have to stay calm. This store is designed to keep you here. There's like one exit. It could be hours before I find you.
What do I do?
Give me a visual.
Anything. Bookshelves. Lamps.
Those weird egg chairs.
I don't know. There's a...
You need to focus.
Oh my god. And my phone's at 13%. It's gonna die. I can't breathe. If I don't make it, promise me you'll keep shopping. Promise you'll find everything else on the list.
Stop it.
We'll finish shopping together, okay?
Besides, you know I always pick out the wrong thing.
Are you eating?
Yeah, I'm starving. We've been here like all day.
We're not spending our entire Saturday lost in this store.
Why did we even come here? Anything we buy is just gonna break anyway.
Help. Help. My hand.
What do I do? No. My baby.
IKEA.
Tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Tech so far regarding IKEA, why didn't you go to Dollarama? Yeah, they do plates and a toilet brush, don't they? That's a good point. Why didn't I do that? It would have been a lot easier. Oh, no, this trip's gone from bad to worse. Idiot. And then someone else texted in, I think it's unrelated to IKEA, but maybe not, judging on the content. Collision alert, bed mattress fell off truck and car ran over it. So bed mattress fell off truck and a car has run over it on 400 southbound before Bradford. Cut off, hold up in left police on scene. What? Cut off, hold up. In left, police on... Let's not give it too much. Just watch out for bed mattresses. I wouldn't normally read that out, but it's mildly amusing. On account of the fact no one got injured. And it was probably someone coming back from IKEA having an argument at that very moment. Right. We're going to be talking about emotionally intelligent signs. What are they? I'll tell you soon. But firstly, normally at this time, we have Amanda Capito, queen of all newsy poos, who joins us. And... today, she does just that, but not in my presence, which means I can't see her lovely, smiley, tranquil, beautiful face. But
hello.
You are there, I hear. Hello.
I am here.
It's not the same, is it? Oh, phone call.
I was waiting for the butt, like the lovely face, but I was waiting if there was going to be a low blow coming.
And lovely butt. Is that what you mean?
Thank you.
Is that the butt you wanted? Anyway, she's very good. She knows all things about news, and that's why we talked to her, because obviously I don't spend a great deal of time preparing for this show. I just generally use it as a vehicle to rant my frustrations of the day that I've just had. But here's a woman with brains and all kinds of other bits involved. Her name's Amanda Capito.
Hello, thank you.
So what's in the news? I hear there are rumblings about Canada Post. Tell me more.
You're very correct. So... the president of the union that represents Canada Post workers not too happy. They might be going on strike as early as, or there might be a lockout as early as July. And pretty much they're upset because they're wanting to make cutbacks to pensions and benefits, but the union rep is saying it should not be a thing because Canada Post is actually making a lot of money because of all of the online shopping that's going on, and they're delivering a ton of parcels.
Well, then if it's making so much money, why does it need to do all these cuts?
Exactly. That's the whole thing that the union is arguing. They were on Mark Tui's show today. So, yeah, I mean, there was the first the cuts were coming back to the door-to-door postage, which I get. That makes sense. But at this point, I'm not sure how their checks are balancing out, but I feel like, yeah, there are some of I get a lot of stuff through Canada Post because of the stuff I buy online. I don't know about you. I'm a big online shopper.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, after today, I'll never go into a shop again for the rest of my life. I went to IKEA earlier. Have you ever been to IKEA?
I love IKEA.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're Satan. You are an embodiment of Lucifer. How anyone could love that godforsaken aircraft hangar of sadness is beyond me.
No, you know what? There's two extremes. You either love it or you hate it. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
And that's why we get on so well.
I think so. We balance each other out.
We have, yeah. In fact, all right then. Okay, you want to put your money where your mouth is? Next time I go to IKEA, will you help me?
Of course. I love going.
Oh, really? Because I hated
I love
it
the
today.
Hot dogs. I get little ice cube trays that make your ice in different shapes. Those are fun.
I don't know. I think you somewhat need to reestablish what fun is. If your concept of fun is the shape of an ice cube, you are nearly at the end of the road, I feel. No, I do want your help. I did everything wrong. I thought I was being clever and I went against the traffic like a lost, stubborn salmon wandering around the bloody IKEA, and I got proper in a pickle. Will you help me do it the right way next time, Amanda Capito?
Yeah, and then, you know what, I've even learned some of the shortcuts. There's shortcuts you can take, so you can take advantage of those.
Did you go to the one in North York?
No, I go to the one in Woodbridge.
How many has Toronto got?
There's quite a few. Want to go to all of them with me? Like, we could do a tour. We could do an IKEA tour.
Yeah, I was going to go back to Europe on holiday, maybe to Italy this coming summer. But you know what? Screw it. Let's do a consumer trip around various IKEAs. We can do a little online poll of which ones are the best. Oh, dear. No. Anyway, going back to the original question, do I buy a lot of stuff online? Yeah, I do. And if everyone's buying stuff online, and they are, then surely there is a need for this market. I don't understand why they don't just cut back some things. And I don't mean people. I mean, don't do any seasonal working employment unless absolutely necessary. Spread your hours over the Christmas period where you can. Obviously, you need to maybe not deliver on certain days like they do in various other countries. Aren't there ways of doing this without getting rid of people and getting rid of pensions?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of people see, I agree that there's other solutions than getting rid of pensions and benefits. Like, and I don't know how exuberant their pensions are, but
pretty good, I think. State orientated.
I don't know. It's hard to compare to media.
Well, don't you worry, because old Vinny's got the answer.
Oh.
I've got my fingers in European pies, my love, and I've been researching what other people in that great
Your
metropolis do.
Are European pies.
Yeah. Honestly, sometimes it just comes out.
Sounds really dirty.
She's a lovely pie. Right, Finland. That's where I'm talking about. They've got the answer. You'll think I'm making this up, Amanda, and I promise you I'm not. This is an article from the Finland Post.
Okay.
Finland's postal service will be doing more than just delivering letters and parcels this summer. Its workers will be mowing lawns as well. Fact, the state-owned Postie company is offering a weekly grass-cutting service with customers able to choose either 30 minutes or 60 minutes of lawn mowing time. It will only be available on Tuesdays, though, as the volume of post tends to be lighter than on other days, and customers will have to provide their own lawnmower. They'll also have to be willing to pay $35 Canadian, roughly, a month for the half-hour sessions and more for the hour-long sessions. This is all after Postie were looking for ways to tackle a falling demand for its mail services in recent years. Earlier this month, it announced that delivery times would be extended into the evenings when people are usually home, but that wasn't enough, so they decided to mow some lawns.
I actually think that's pretty genius, and I don't know if they'd find that demeaning, but if you're at the house delivering a letter anyway, then why not?
Fact.
I love it.
There's one organisation in Finland that isn't happy about it, though. The Real Estate Employers Group of Finland, they love a union, which represents property maintenance companies, says it's concerned that postal workers don't have the right skills. They say using power-driven machinery and equipment requires a certain experience, they said. This is the Real Estate Employers Group of Finland.
Oh, get out of here.
They went on to say it's hard to just believe that anyone would come up with an idea like this. Not just anyone can cut a lawn, can't they?
That's ridiculous.
It's not that hard, is it?
That's ridiculous.
You're not doing microbiology, just cutting some weeds out.
Oh, man.
So there you are. I've decided the Canadian version of that, snow clearance. Why don't we get Canada Post doing that?
Hey, so yeah, leave your snowblower out.
Yeah.
They deliver you your Christmas cards and then they clear off your driveway.
Yeah. Actually, they're quite busy over Christmas. So maybe, well, Finland's got a similar climate. We could do grass cutting like Finland are doing it. Let's just do that.
I think it's a great idea. Why don't you pitch it?
Have you got any better ideas?
I don't know. Get them to do like singing telegrams, get them to perform.
There's going to be so many lawsuits because then it'll be like, why are you only hiring ridiculously sexy postal workers that insist on wearing heels? Yeah, it's like shift in service. Have you ever been to Vancouver? I went there this week.
Yes, I have been. It's beautiful.
Why did you go?
I actually was leaving from a cruise ship that was docking from there. I went on the Alaskan cruise.
Man, you're like every time I come out with a little trip, you always trump it, don't you? Oh yeah, I was in Vancouver on an Alaskan cruise. The whole thing was
the
whole thing was powered by poor people. What was it like then? What do you think of Vancouver?
It was beautiful. I loved it. Actually, I drove by UBC, the university there, and I honestly was like, what can I take to go to this university? Because it just was so stunning.
Yeah, any course that's left.
Course that's left that I could, they would possibly accept me to. Maybe I'll just go.
Making wooden shoes. Done!
Yeah.
I'm in.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand completely. For 10 years I've lived in Canada, and every time I ever talk about where I've been, because until this week I've never been out west, I always get frustrated with people saying, oh, you should go to Vancouver, it's beautiful. And I've always thought, yeah, I'm sure it is.
And?
Yeah, well, I went and they're right, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. See?
Simple as that. So, shout out to the Vancouverites. I can see why you're so pompous about it.
Why were you there? Just for funsies?
I went snowboarding in Whistler. 28 degrees one day. 28. They've closed Whistler, but Blackcomb's still open. And I was doing runs on Wednesday, I think it was.
Was it fake snow, though?
No, real snow. Glacier.
Wow, all that. The altitude so high.
Yeah, the top of the mountain's all right. Oh, it was melting quickly at 28 degrees. Some bloke on the gondola said he'd never seen weather like it. I don't think it's ever been that hot on a day that you can ski, ever.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, you must not have needed a jacket.
No, I didn't need anything. I just now need to earn loads of money to pay off the outrageous airfare and expenses of snowboarding. But it was worth it. What's our philosophy? A little bit of debt doesn't really matter as long as you're having a good time, all right?
Yes, I wish flights out there were cheaper, I'll say that.
Yeah, you and me both. Amanda Capido, thank you for a telephonic newsy poos.
Thank you.
See you later, love.
Bye.
This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. Nice to be here. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. I asked you before the break, what is an emotionally intelligent sign? And probably the best text so far that came in on 71010 didn't leave their name, but said, an emotionally intelligent sign is a sign that appeals to your emotions and uses empathy to deliver a message or order, which seems almost dictionary perfect, in my opinion, but you're absolutely right. You might be familiar with them from driving on, for example, the Gardner Express. Sorry, I said Express. It's always funny when you call the Gardner Express. Should be called the Gardner, because it's about the speed of a very aged one. But I was driving on the Gardner Expressway today, and one of the signs, the overhead Ontario neon LED signs, said, normal speed meets every need. And it's not the first one I've seen like that. It's sort of, you know, more emotional than just ordering. One of my favourites that you see in Ontario sometimes is, your life matters, don't speed. And the other one that I've seen in Ontario, I saw it last time I was on the highway, I believe, was Somebody loves you. Drive safely. Yeah, they're emotionally intelligent signs. Not long enough, are they? Not long enough, really. Be nice to add another bit behind them. You know, normal speed meets every need. And if you're German and grew up using the Autobahn, that's 165 kilometres an hour. Your life matters. Don't speed. And spare a thought for everyone else you could hurt. Your douchebag. You know what I mean? Just add a bit. You know, the one that says, somebody loves you, drive safely. It probably should say, somebody loves you, drive safely. And don't think too much about who that is right now, as you could either distract yourself or, if it turns out to be untrue and no one does love you, if it actually does turn out to be untrue, then you might be tempted to undo your seatbelt and throw your car into the railings. You know, it's a bit wordy, but you get my meaning. I just think, you know, it could be more concise. Anyway, they're called emotionally intelligent signs. It all started, apparently, you could say, when a woman in a small town in Connecticut, a woman called Petulia Puglier, it sounds something between a flower and a small dog. She has a house that sits at an intersection in Connecticut, small town, next to two local schools for little kiddywinks. And she had a stop sign outside her house and she became fed up when people just ignored it all the time. And then she saw a couple of near misses. And then she saw an actual minor fender bender right outside her house at this stop sign. So one day in 2010, this woman, Puglier, came home to her husband, fed up, and said, oh, if people would just drive like their kids lived here, then they'd pay more attention. And as she said it, she decided that she'd design her own sign. So days later, it appeared on her lawn, white block letters on a red background, and it says, drive like your kids live here. So this was 2010, as I said. Now, neighbours and strangers alike were soon knocking on Puglier's door. Where could they get one of these signs? So she printed off a few in the neighbourhood, and homeowners across the whole state came through saying, let's get one of these signs. Now equipped with an online store and a selection of different designs, Puglier has sold almost 50,000 signs saying similar things to drive like your kids live here. And she's sold them all across 50 states of America. Next up, they're going to be for sale here in Canada on Amazon.ca. She says Canadian residents have really gained more and more of an interest. Puglier's project is part of a burgeoning global movement that takes on traditional traffic signage. Last year, after a van struck and killed a 7-year-old girl here in Toronto, the local Leaside streets became blanketed in signs designed by a local father of three that said, slow down, kids at play, against the silhouette of a child's face. And it seemed to be quite effective. Other examples similarly appeal to emotions, emotionally intelligent signs. Since 2007, construction zones in BC have notices that read, slow down, my mommy works here. And it shows a picture of a female road construction worker on a road in her yellow outfit being hugged by her children. A bit of artistic license there, unless she brings her children to play on the highway every day. And if she brings her children to play on the highway every day, we should really make a sign for the inside of her house on the front door that says, children need an education. Don't bring them to work on a highway, you know. Anyway, some signs are whimsical. In a town in Oak Lawn, Illinois, they accessorise their stop signs with messages such as, in the name of love, and or I'm telling your mum. The bureaucrats at the State Transportation Department promptly ordered them removed. Other signs are unnerving. In Elm Grove, Wisconsin, radar speed signs detect driver's speeds, much like you would see here, and relay in real time, not the speed, but how many days they'd spend in hospital if they crashed. So you drive past and, I don't know, say you're doing 110 kilometres an hour, it's 46 days in hospital, apparently. Although how they know that so specifically, I'm not entirely sure. I suppose it's an average. So that's one way of doing it. To make it more effective, they should put a real-time notice of the potential medical bill. After all, this is the USA. Slow down. If you crash now, it'll cost $546,000. If you're on a motorbike, it costs you $900,000. Honestly, it's intuitive. I mean, it's quite ingenious in some ways, but I wonder where it'll stop next. I mean, what next? How many limbs you might lose? Slow down, you could lose one limb. Or the percentage chance that your wife will leave you if you crash. Well, regardless, some emotionally intelligent signs are downright eerie. The English city of Leicester installed life-size child mannequins. Imagine 3-foot-high foosball players, plastic ones. And they installed them all around the edge of a school zone on the sidewalks in an attempt to get drivers to slow down. Unsurprisingly, being England, of course, drunk people urinated on them and a few of them were stolen. I don't know why. Sex slaves or something. Geographically and stylishly, they're all very diverse. The signs have one thing in common. Rather than merely communicating basic information or threatening drivers with possible punishment, they convey or elicit empathy. So usually the way we get to follow the rules is by threatening them, says Daniel Pink, a guy that wrote the his best-selling American author, and he tracked the evolution of signs. His book is called Emotionally Intelligent Signage. He says, all these people around the world are doing this. We're all coming to realise that actually it's more effective to use your emotions and to make people more emotional. And that's why you see those signs on the Don Valley and the Gardner Express. And apparently they're quite effective. In fact, they're so effective that those particular ones I was talking about earlier that you see in Ontario, normal speed meets every need, your life matters, don't speed. And the final one, somebody loves you, so drive safely. Those signs have been so effective that Rajnath Birsera, who's the manager of the urban traffic control systems here in Toronto, says a handful of drivers have emailed him with their appreciation, which has to be a rare treat in an office that usually fields nothing but complaints. And the province has expressed their interest in following suit right across and possibly federally as well. So look out for more emotional signs is what the message is here. Like the one in Needham, Nova Scotia, outside a school that says, "Where's the fire? Slow down." Which works. Unless there's a fire.
This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
So I went to IKEA today, Patrick, the producer. And when I was going through the sort of arty section, I noticed there were some canvas prints for sale. Have you ever been through that section?
No, I haven't, but I've been thinking about getting some canvas prints, although I say that a lot.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is that many canvas prints, albeit reasonable in value, are fundamentally boring and the same as all of your other friends that have the same one.
I couldn't agree more.
And it got me thinking, if only there was a place you could go somewhere called, I don't know what it's called, maybe you could tell me, that I could print my pictures of, say, my travels all those years ago, or my beautiful face, so I can look up from my bed looking directly back at myself.
Well, in this fantasy world, maybe there'd be a website called MrPhotoCanvas.com.
If there was a website called MrPhotoCanvas.com, what on earth would they do there?
I think they would take your digital photographs and then enlarge them and put them on a lovely canvas.
Thereby saving me the painful need to go to IKEA, although if they advertise with us, it's worth pointing out that they've got very cheap and reliable furniture. Even though it's flat pack, it does really, really, really work to be cost efficient. Can I go there and get a canvas then?
Well, I certainly haven't heard anybody being disappointed.
Well, I'll check online at MrPhotoCanvas.com and look at their links to their reviews. And by golly, they better be good.
I'm certain they will be.
All right, cheers, mate. I asked you what's wrong with Vancouver. I went there this week and found it so beautiful. I did land when it wasn't raining, which I hear is quite rare. So I'm looking for things that are wrong with it in order to make myself feel better about living here. Because I feel a bit down this week. Can we just finally get the pissing green shoots out and some of the sun? Your replies on 7-10-10 so far. Why is Vancouver not fantastic? Someone says just the word fog. Fair point. Everyone says prices. And including, someone sent me a link to a bungalow that's $1.6 million. Yeah, fair point. I mean, it's not exactly, they're not giving them away here in Toronto, but Vancouver is astronomical. And the sad thing is, an awful lot of those buildings are empty, you know. They're just bought for long-term investments. No one lives in them. And there's like a whole block of condos. It looks like a ghost town in a housing crisis. So, yeah, We're good. Someone else says massively expensive, always raining. And someone else says bike lanes. Well, I'm assuming they're not a cyclist, but yeah, there's a lot of bike lanes which can. If you're a driver there, they've had to put up with losing a lot of lanes to give them over to the bikes. But in fair point in some ways. I mean, let's face it, it's a pretty economical and groovy way to get around. Okay, I feel slightly better. If you could just send something, doesn't have to be true, terrible at Vancouver, that would be great. Just say something. Just make me feel better. Just say there's massive crocodiles. I don't know. I'm a foreigner. I've got a clue. Just want putting off the place. Next. So I'm going to give you a choice, Pat. Do you want a bank robbery in Uzbekistan or a Starbucks cup label?
There's nothing I like more than bank robberies.
This week in Uzbekistan, this happened. 16.1 million Uzbek soms were stolen. Yes, a criminal gang this week had to load the cash into their van in 45 sacks. According to local officials, the gang broke a window to gain access to the branch in a bank in Bogot, Uzbekistan. Then, using very heavy-duty equipment, spent hours going through various walls. They finally got into the vault. They smashed through safes, and they got 45 sacks of cash, Pat. 45 sacks.
That's a long way to carry all those 45 sacks back through those very many walls and the window.
Tough
gig. It's a lot of work.
But, of course, it paid off, right?
I don't know. What's the, the monetary translation?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Feels like one of our adverts. The major problem for anybody carrying cash in Uzbekistan is that the largest denomination is the 5,000 som bill, which is worth about 150 Canadian. So in total, their 45 sacks of cash were $2,500. The suspects who reportedly... $2,500. The suspects, who reportedly include a former security guard at the bank, were caught in the act, arrested, and now face 16 years in prison.
For $2,000.
$2,500, Pat. $2,500. If it was $2,000, it wouldn't be worth it. $2,500.
They keep more money at bodegas anywhere in the city. Like those little convenience stores.
Why do you call them bodegas? We're not in Spain.
Because they sell, like, fruit and veg and stuff as well. I don't know. That's what people call them. I didn't make up the rules.
No one's ever called it that.
You're kidding.
I've never in my life heard anyone say, why don't you pop over to that bodega and get a pack of gum? That's never happened.
Really?
I've heard more people say pulperia than that.
I've never heard that. What's pulperia?
That's Spanish for small convenience store in Latin America.
Oh.
I think bodega is an outdoor shelter in Spanish as well, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
Right. Put this straight. Call in now on 416-872-1010. I don't care which line of you take, but have you ever heard anyone call a convenience store in Toronto a bodega? And if so, for bonus points, can you tell me the root word? Because why on earth? Honestly, it's an amazing thing about living here 10 years. There's still things every week I've never heard of.
Well, you've lived here longer than me, so if you say it's not a thing, you're probably right.
Yeah, but you lived in England, and so did I. And we definitely don't call them bodegas in England.
Definitely not.
416-872-1010. What the hell is a bodega, and do you call it that? Call me now. I'll give you a prize. One of these days, I might have to follow through with that.
Yeah, someone is going to call you on this no prize given nonsense.
I'll have you know that I did Mike Bullard's show the other day and they didn't have a prize ready. So I gave them a $60 voucher for MrPhotoCanvas.com.
Ooh. Can't be doing that too much.
I got approved from the boss. I got approved. But I'm subsidising Bell Media. They don't have to come up with prizes. Right. Why is no one phoning? What is going on here? Ah, here's a phone call. Thank you. I'd prefer it when you follow instructions. Obviously, I wasn't eliciting empathy on a grand enough scale. Stick him straight through, mate. Patrick! Oh, he's checking. You know what? I know why he's doing this, because a few weeks ago, this didn't go out on the radio, but we took a phone call from a raving lunatic, and they swore, and I had to press the whoops button. And so now he has a policy, which all producers do, apart from the ones I shout at, for checking that people aren't nutters. And apparently, Anthony in Toronto isn't a nutter. Hello, mate. What the hell is a bodega, and do you call it that? Anthony.
Yes, hi. Bodega is, I think you're mispronouncing it just a little bit off, but it doesn't matter. A bodega is is a store in Italian. It's a derivative for a store, bottega.
Now, and, have you ever heard anyone call it that in Toronto, just off the cuff as a convenience store?
No, just Italians will call a store a bottega. And the idea then is that's, I believe that might be where the boutique, the word boutique comes
from. Oh, derives from, yeah, of course, boutique.
Yeah, you know, so it's bottega and then boutique, probably into the, maybe the French rather than the Latin language meanings.
Anthony, you sound remarkably intelligent. What on earth are you doing listening to this show?
That's what I keep asking myself every day when you're on. What am I doing listening to it?
I think what you've done is you've listened to this endless drivel for so many months, and finally now you've had the ability to be useful, and now your challenge here is done, and you will never tune in a lot.
No, it actually. How do you think I got this way? I've been listening to your show all this time.
Oh, bless you! You're a fine man. Good on you.
No,
take care, mate. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You absolutely put us straight. So, a little bit of research there. He says that the root word is Italian. And Patrick, last time I checked, you weren't Italian.
No, but I got to be an Italian family members. But again, I fully acknowledge could be talking out of my rear end.
Well, not so much, because someone on text says Americans use it a lot.
That could be, again, what I'm getting it from.
Are you part?
A lot of TV.
Yeah, you watch a load of telly.
Yep, all of it.
So it might be a bit of that. Those damn Americans influencing us. I can't wait for that wall. But if he pops it up over America and Mexico, I will drive that thing brick by brick up and make it myself back here. Thank you. It's a very peculiar show, but let's be honest, they're never particularly straightforward and understandable at the best of times. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Thanks, Pat. It looks like you may have been Italian in a former life. We love you, mate. Thanks very much. Thanks for your input on the show. Sorry I didn't get to everyone. I'll be back here next week. Oh, you know what? I should plug this as well. If ever you're bored on a Tuesday morning, I'm now a member of the Round Table. I'm not a knight, but there's a Round Table phone in during the John Moore show. But if you're interested, I'm sure you're not, then 8:45 every Tuesday morning, you can hear my opinions on world politics and news articles. So, you know, if you do night shifts and you want to nod off, tune in.